surprise you guys. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs at a renovation of the heart, which is Dallas's other book that I think is one of the best books I've ever read. So if I had to read it twice to understand what he was talking about, because he just got so, well, I take it back, I guess 2.5 times. I got through about 40%, gave up, started over, did it again, and did it again. So I love the book, but it's really, some of this stuff doesn't make sense. It's okay. I'll get to the point why I'm adding this to what we're doing. He talks about the revolution of Jesus. And he goes, his objective is eventually to bring all of human life on earth under the direction of his wisdom, his goodness, and power. As part of God's eternal plan for the universe, Jesus set afoot a perpetual world revolution, one that is still in process and will continue until God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. He has chosen to accomplish this with and in part through his students, which fall in this category. I'm skipping around paragraphs here. The revolution of Jesus is in the first place and continuously a revolution of the human heart or spirit. It did not and does not proceed by means of the formation of social institutions and laws, the outer forms of our existence, intending that these would then impose a good order of life upon people who come under their power. Rather, his is a revolution of character, which proceeds by changing people from the inside through ongoing personal relationship to God in Christ and to one another. It is one that changes their ideas, beliefs, feelings, habits of choice, as well as their bodily tendencies and social relationships. It penetrates to the deepest layers of their souls. Jumping down a little bit, such streams cannot flow through corrupted souls. A renovated within will not cooperate with the public streams of unrighteousness. It will block them or die trying. It is the only thing that can do so. Jumping over again. Jesus did not send his students out to start governments or even churches as we know them today, which always strongly convey some elements of a human system. They were instead to establish beachheads of his person, word, and power in the midst of a failing and futile humanity. They were to bring the presence of the kingdom and its king into every corner of human life by simply fully living in the kingdom with him. Those who received him as their living Lord and constant instructor would be God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, Colossians 3:12, and would learn how to be blameless and harmless children of God, faultless in the midst of a twisted and misguided generation from within, which they shine as lights in the world, lifting up a word of life, Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Churches are not the kingdom of God, but are primary and inevitable expressions, outposts, and instrumentalities of the presence of the kingdom among us. Let me jump over to another page real quick. If you have any comments or questions, I'll let you state those after I get over here. Okay. Viewed socially or sociologically and historically, as well as spiritually, the new impulse is an aspect of dissolution of Protestant denominationalism as we have known it, and of the emergence of a new, but also an old, identity for Christians, crossing all denominational lines and national and natural boundaries. There are now, and he's dead, so this was written years ago. There are now 33,800 different Christian denominations on earth.
Wow.
Clearly an adequate answer must go deeper than our religious associations. It must refer to what we are in our hearts before God and the depths of our being. Always the focal point of Christian spiritual formation. This change is an extremely good thing and a highly promising departure from the recent past of Christians worldwide. we can say in a primarily manner, preliminary manner, spiritual formation for the Christian basically refers to the spirit-driven process of forming the inner world of the human self in such a way that it becomes like the inner being of Christ himself. The outer life of the individual becomes a natural expression or outflow of the character and teachings of Jesus. Christian spiritual formation is focused entirely on Jesus. Okay, I want to share that with you as, again, we go back to the book we're going to be going through, where he talks about, you know, if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to understand what disciplines he lived by, and we need to apply those disciplines into our lives. So that's why I wanted to read that one to you first. I see Bree came in.
Yeah.
You got a boy with you, or is he at work?
He's on his way.
Okay.
He's still driving. I didn't think you were going to have class because of it being Thanksgiving week. So sorry I was late.
Oh, that's okay. You're forgiven. Now, to go to the book we're doing, we're still in the preface. Now, it's not working. In my phone, it says we're 13 minutes or 8 minutes left in the chapter. And on my Kindle, it says we're 13 minutes left in the chapter, about 2%. So I don't know how you can declare where you're at here. But if you remember last week, we talked about the first and second task. And here he said, here I want to deal with methods. So we become like Christ in character and in power, and thus realize our highest ideas of well-being and well-doing. This is the heart of the New Testament message. So if you can find that section where he started that by saying, this book offers help with the second task. That's the beginning of that paragraph. And it's about 2% into the preface.
Are you in this divine conspiracy, rediscovering our hidden life in God?
No, we're in the preface. We're before chapter one.
No, is that the name of the book?
The Spirit of the Disciplines is the name of the book.
They sent me the wrong book. Dallas Willard, they sent me The Divine Conspiracy. That's the name of the book.
Oh, mercy. That one's heavy duty.
Rediscovering our hidden life in God. But I was reading, and you were reading what you said, and I read this and I underlined this statement. Listen to it. It goes along with what you were just reading. It says, I assume that he did not and would not leave his message to humankind in a form that they can only be understood by a handful of late 20th century professional scholars who cannot even agree among themselves on the theories that they assume to determine what the message is. And I thought, I was looking at that statement as you were reading, and I thought, that's what he says in this book. But they sent me the wrong book.
Yes, that's another one I'm still reading. And that book they sent you is deeper than these other two books. So just to let you know.
I already understand. If you put a doctrine, let's just say Methodist or Baptist or Catholic, if you put a doctrine around God's word, then you're standing in the doctrine and you're allowing it to influence the word of God and not the word of God to influence you. And I have always thought these doctrines that man has come up with, I mean, there's one on Calvinism where you don't choose, God chooses you. Well, you have freedom to choose. You do choose that. So I've always struggled over doctrines. And so when he said that, I said, but that is too true.
That's what I read. That's why in the other book he said, you know, he's talking about all the denominations, but he said Jesus really brought a revolution.
Yeah.
He didn't bring Pharisaical or whatever. He brought a revolution of the heart. And that's why the Reformation of the Heart, the other book I was sharing out of, It's one of the best book, A Renovation of the Heart. It's one of the best books I've ever read. He gets so into that, but again, I don't want to get into that book because we're going to go back. Sorry, you don't have the right one, but trust us, Nancy. Trust us, Nancy. We'll tell you what this one says. Okay, he says, if the rest of you are there, I'm going to start reading a paragraph that starts with, "My central claim is that we become like Christ by doing one thing, by following him and the overall style of life he chose for himself. If we have faith in Christ, we must believe that he knew how to live. We can, through faith and grace, become like Christ by practicing the types of activities he engaged in, by arranging our whole lives around the activities he himself practiced in order to remain constantly at home in the fellowship of his Father." What do you think about that paragraph, gang? How does that speak to you?
Read that again. Read that again.
I will. He says, and this is Willard, "My central claim is that we become like Christ by doing one thing, by following him in the overall style of life he chose for himself. If we have faith in Christ, we must believe that he knew how to live. We can, through faith and grace, become like Christ by practicing the types of activities he engaged in, by arranging our whole lives around the activities he himself practiced in order to remain constantly at home in the fellowship of his Father." And it goes back to my favorite verse, Jesus, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and do what? Follow me." And
He
that's what Will, that's why I wanted us to go through this book, because Willard is saying we need to follow Christ in the way that he lived, by following him, the overall style of life he chose for himself. I've never really heard that preached on. I've never thought to preach on it because I never thought about it until I read it the way Dallas is presenting it. And I'm thinking, man, that should be in every pulpit in the world. If we're going to follow Christ, we need to understand the overall style of life he chose for himself. And we can be like Christ in practicing those activities he engaged in through the power of the Holy Spirit.
he would say, "I don't say anything I have not heard the Father say." He would say, "I only watch the Father work and I join him." And then at the end, you see that struggle between his will and the Father's when he says, "Take this cup from me. All things are possible for you, Father. Take this cup from me." But then he turns around, and what, we don't know the struggle that between that will and the Father's will, he says, "But not my will, but thy be done." And so I think that's what you're saying. Die to self. Take up your cross. Deny self. I think that's what he's saying. Is
I
that
think you're like it reminds me of like whenever I was with No Boundaries International. And we would pray, like, "Lord, break our hearts for what breaks yours," and then drive up and down Robinson and see the homeless and see the hurting and see the drug addict, and it, allow it to break your heart so that you can pray for them, so you could be there for them, you know, kind of like just aligning your heart with his heart.
You know, we can't see you because your camera, I don't know where you're at,
Okay.
or where your
Sorry, I'm
camera's at.
cooking.
Oh,
Sorry,
there
I'm
you
cooking.
go.
I'm washing my
I knew you
hands
couldn't
just
break the
then.
camera because, you know, you're too beautiful for that.
Whatever, I look like crap. But yeah, it just reminds me of like, can you hear me? I think my phone's having trouble. Can you hear me? Okay. But yeah, it just reminds me of like No Boundaries International and how like we would work with people from hard places. And they like really were big on like praying for, "Lord, like break my heart for what breaks yours." You know, it's kind of like one time they wanted me to do makeup on a transvestite and like I didn't want to do that, like it conflicted me a little bit, and then I prayed about it, and then it was like, well, if you're not showing the love of Jesus to him, who is? So it's like loving them right where they're at in a way, and not agreeing with them, but at the same time loving them right where they're at. And just like, allowing your heart to be broken for what breaks God's, even if it does conflict you in your stance or your religion or whatever, but loving them right where they're at is kind of like you coming into our lives. If you came into our life and it's like, you're gonna go to hell, we wouldn't have listened to anything you had to say, and so we wouldn't have allowed room for the Lord to move.
Besides, you never know when God opens the door for you, too, if you're helping somebody like that.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, how strange is it that by just coming to do a funeral service, all these people are watching the service and getting the gospel preached to them? I mean, only the Lord could do that. And that wasn't our plan, but it's like, wow, Lord, you are amazing. Who knows how many people will be touched by that service that weren't even there? And I didn't know you knew over 600 people. I don't know why all those people are watching this, but that's pretty cool.
And I don't even know where they're coming from, because when you look at like the Unified Vision Church and you look at like last week's sermon, and it wasn't even like this last Sunday, but the Sunday before. So a week ago yesterday, there's only like, I want to say 300 or 400 that have watched it, and it's been a week, and it's only been a couple days, and there's over 600 already, And that's only in a couple of days, And I don't even know where they're coming from. I know my mom was really popular, so I don't know if that's where they're coming from or what, but people are watching it. I wish I could see how long they stay on it to see if they like watch it through the whole thing. But either way, they're watching it, and like, this world is lost. Like when you look at how many people were saved versus lost in that crowd of the people that I know, majority of them are lost versus saved. And they stayed for the whole thing, half of them. I could feel like, because I can feel emotions, I could feel like spiritual warfare in that room. Some of them didn't want to hear it. Some of them were walking out, but majority of them stayed, And my brother doesn't even really believe in the Bible completely, but he listened to it and he went back and listened to it. He listened to it at least twice. And then yesterday he was mentioning scripture to me. He's like, what's Romans 8:28? And he started it and I finished it, So that's the Lord working,
Yeah, well, the Holy Spirit had that to begin with. I mean, he told me a week before, I've got this. And, if you get run out of the place, that's okay because you're there to give my message. And it's like, okay, it's going to be fun. Let's do this, Father. So, yeah, Lord was in charge, and that was just amazing. Okay, anybody else commenting on that paragraph I just read before I start another one?
Yeah, I just don't think you can be a Christian if you don't follow what Christ does. I mean, you really aren't, because you're just doing your own thing and hoping everybody accepts you. You're not sitting there putting yourself out like Christ put himself up. And so if everything you're doing is reflecting him, and you're actually connect emotionally to Christ and spiritually, then you're going to reflect what the Father has shown you about love. And really, that's the core of Christ's ministry. He didn't come in to condemn people. He didn't come to list the sins of the prostitute or the girl that was unfaithful. He forgave them and he witnessed to them, go live a new life. And that all comes from reflection from God the Father. Without that, we really don't have anything.
Amen. What, Jeremy got a bathroom break again?
Maybe.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the next half of the next paragraph. Okay, if let me go back and reword a part of that. By following him in the overall style of life he chose for himself. Okay, and then he says, what activities did Jesus practice? Again, you know, if we're supposed to follow him, it's kind of like I said at the funeral, I thought following him was going to heaven one of these days. She says, no, yeah, I want to follow him. That's what I want to do. But then I realized that the scripture says a lot more about following Jesus than just getting saved and baptized. I mean, that's a new birth. That you're a child now. Now it's time to start growing and maturing. But a lot of people don't want the growing and maturing. But what activities did Jesus practice? Such things, and these are things we're going to be looking at later on in this book. So I want you to listen to this real close. Such things as solitude and silence, prayer, simple and sacrificial living, intense study and meditation upon God's word and God's ways, and service to others. That's what we're supposed to be doing as believers, if we're going to be like Christ. And that's why we're going through this book. And Jeremy, I don't have a real good memory like when somebody came from Kansas City and was in our group, but I do have a memory last time we were on here and you didn't speak. And I said, you were answering questions this week.
Okay.
I didn't even know he was here. I'm just
what
hearing
about
him for
those
the first
activities
time.
That Jesus practiced?
What was your question again?
Okay, we're talking about being like Jesus, and I just read the paragraph about the activities that Jesus practiced. Solitude, silence, prayer, simple and sacrificial living, intense study and meditation upon God's word and God's ways, and service to others. How much have you heard, and not to be condemnation, but just wondering where we're at in this, how much have you heard that talked about and preached about in churches, those activities that Christ practiced?
Actually, I don't hear it at all.
I mean, Jesus said, follow me.
I don't hear it at all. Just in the couple churches that I've been to in this area, I haven't heard it at all.
So how confusing is it if we tell people they're to follow Jesus and they don't even know what that means?
Right. But I mean, but like you said, though, I mean, but we are all called to minister and be preachers. So we're all responsible to do that, not just that pastor that's up in that pulpit. So if there's a failure, it's on everybody in that church because each person is the church.
Yeah.
So it's not that sole responsibility of that person standing
Amen.
In that pulpit.
You're right. It's all of our responsibilities.
I think Jesus is the light.
Yeah.
The light. When you look at somebody and you look at them with your thoughts, because you're going to have thoughts about people. You look at them with your thoughts, you're in the darkness. But if you let his thoughts show you, light shows you. Walk in a room, it's dark. You're going to stumble. You turn the light on. Oh, I can see how to get around. It's the same with Jesus. He's the light of his word. And until he shows you his thoughts towards that person, you don't even know what he's thinking. Kind of like Bree said, you go out there and he wants you to have that compassion, but he has to show you that light and how he looked at the world. He did not come to judge. He did not come to condemn. He came to give life, light. And he saw people in the light, of course, of the Father, truth, but light shows you his thoughts. You have to be able to. Jesus made a statement in Matthew chapter 5. You're sitting there looking at somebody and you have all these thoughts. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be simply no. Anything other than this is coming out of evil. Your thoughts are born in sin, and you're born with the struggle of even loving somebody. How in the world will you love him if he doesn't show you his thoughts of compassion and caring? I think it's so important, because over and over in the Psalms, David would say, show me, Lord, answer me, show me. And I think we're too quick to accept what we look at a person and let our thoughts even wonder, well, how'd they get in that mess? Well, how'd you get in your mess? You made wrong choices. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. Yep. And again, talking about the activities Jesus practiced, he goes down a paragraph under that and says, such a faith is just described as strongly opposed today by powerful tendencies around us. Faith today is treated as something that only should make us different, not that actually does or can make us different. In reality, we vainly struggle against the evils of this world, waiting to die and go to heaven. Somehow we've gotten the idea that the essence of faith is entirely a mental and inward thing. This goes back to the Pharisees.
It does. And what happens is they had an intellectual relationship with what they thought was God. But when God was in front of them, they wanted to kill him because they were the authority. And they studied, okay, you hear a lot of pastors talking about this. I know the Hebrew and I know the Greek. And you have to know all that word. And if you don't, you know Yahweh, and don't know anything about love. They're just talking religious stuff. So the church that you walk into, that doesn't greet you, that doesn't ask about you, and doesn't care about you, is a church that's broken and separated from the love of God. Because when God touches you, you can't help but reach out to another person.
Amen.
Do you ever want to ask somebody, if you didn't have a doctrine, if you didn't have what you thought putting boundaries around God, he's going to choose you. You can't be chosen. You can't have a part. Do you ever want to say to him, what if you only had Jesus? Would he be enough? Would he be enough to walk you through the world? Would he? That's what I want to say sometimes. If I'm so stuck in that doctrine, what if all you had was Jesus? Would he be enough?
And you're right. That's what Willard said in the beginning. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, every bit of our life, as you said, walking in the light, Jesus is the only light we have to walk in. I mean, this world is full of darkness. So, you know, we're called to be the light. And it's all about Jesus. I love it. Hey, Scott, let me remind you that the new kid on the block can actually talk in this thing. I mean, you know, if you talk too much, I'll tell you to shut up. But no, I'm just kidding, Scott. I'm just kidding. But I just wanted to let you know, don't be like Jeremy was last time. And Robert's talking this time.
Yeah, I was that way too.
Yeah, Robert and Jeremy didn't talk last time, and I told them they had to this time.
You're lucky I'm talking today.
I know, I'm impressed. Jeremy spoke too. I just thought it was a cardboard thing there last time, but it's actually moving and talking.
Yep. Yeah, that's okay, though. Yeah, I'm moving and talking.
I love it. I love it. I love you guys. That's why I love picking on you. See, we've got to be nice to the ladies, but we guys, we're crazy.
I love how deep
Dallas Willard gets you thinking about Jesus. Dallas Willard, when people say out of the box thinking, it's like Dallas says, what box? Because he goes so deep philosophically about Jesus. And I think the paragraph that you read to me that outlined solitude, I made notes over here on my other screen. Solitude, silence, prayer, service to others, simple and sacrificial living. Those are just the ones I caught. I think there was a couple more, maybe. It got me to thinking, if I was to go to my close group of Christian buddies and friends, I think it'd be pretty profound what they'd say if I said, what does it mean to you to follow Jesus? Because he says, follow me. And we each, as a born again believer, have the Holy Spirit in us, and we have that personal relationship. Now, does Scott mess up? Yeah, he messes up. And I've got to, repent from the behavior of messing up. But the reality is, when I follow Jesus, I think of Jesus created community. And I'm forever trying to bring people into a community of believers, whether they're a believer or not. Evangelism, go ye therefore. So community, I think of worship, I think of evangelism. I made a couple notes. Generosity, serve, and discipleship. Just after this Charlie Kirk thing happened, my barber, I've been seeing her as a barber for years, and we just can't get the conversation there. I said, Julie, how you doing? She goes, well, the anxiety is just killing me. Since this Charlie Kirk thing happened, I just feel like the Lord wants me to get my affairs in order. And we got interrupted after 10 minutes of Jesus talk. We got interrupted by somebody else coming in and in our space. But what was amazing is I said, Julie, can I have your permission to ask you a question? She said, sure. Can Alice, my wife, she knows Alice. I'm telling you all, it's my wife. I said, can Alice and I take you to lunch? And she looked at me like really uncomfortable. And I said, I'd really love to continue this conversation with you. And she said, yeah. So we took her to lunch. And I had a, it's never gone there in all these years. And it's like, I'm like, God, you got to do something. You got to open this door of utterance. And I took her a Gideon's Bible. And I said, we went and we had, I don't know if you guys know what McAllister's is. It's like a potato place, and they put roast beef or pulled pork or whatever on your potato. So we went to McAllister's, got some sweet tea and potato and we talked, and I said, I've got a gift for you. And she said, what? I said, well, you may already have one, but this is a really special little Bible, and it's got Psalms and Proverbs in it. And I said, but here's the thing. It's got the most beautiful last two pages. And if you don't know where to start with Jesus, I said, the last two pages is the answer. And it's the plan of salvation. And she goes, oh, I've done that before. I says, well, I said, then if you've done that before, I said, then this will reaffirm it, or we can start afresh if you didn't do it the way this explains. Because I said, there's a lot of confusion out there, and God is not the author of confusion. So in following Jesus, he wants us to share his love. He wants to be an example, as Doug has been for me many times. He wants me to be an example of Jesus to them. And so she, I got my hair cut 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, whatever it was. And she goes, oh, I've read that two pages many times. And we got interrupted again. And I said, Julie, I sure hope we're not going to have that be the only time we go to lunch. She goes, no, we can do it again. So we're planting seeds. Apollos is watering and God will give the increase, but it's happening. And that's by following Jesus. That's his example. But I'm not shoving it, turn or burn, you filthy sinner. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, you guys know people that unrelate the gospel very well out there. We've got to be loving and kind and be a good model and be a connector to the gospel.
Amen.
So there's my contribution of you said I had to talk or you wanted me not to be silent, but I made a couple notes, but I'm gonna ask a couple people intentionally this week. Hey, I got a question for you. What's that? What does it mean to you to follow Jesus? And it'll be really good conversation, I believe.
Yes. Yes. I kind of said that in the I guess it really wasn't a funeral service. It was more of a worship service and glorifying God because I said, too many people nowadays say, well, if I get saved and baptized, I'm good to go to heaven. I don't have to do anything else. And I said, that's not what the scripture says. Because now you're a babe in Christ and you've got to grow. And I use that scripture. Jesus said, if you're going to be my followers, you've got to deny yourself, which could take years talking about that topic, what it means and how it applies in our life. You got to take up your cross, which is a form of death and persecution, and you got to follow me. Well, what does it mean to follow him? And then I read some other verses in there that kind of gave him an idea of what it meant. And I think we believers, well, first place, we need to be living it. So when people look at your life and they know you profess Christ and they see the way you live, they're going to know you're following them because your life's going to be different than the world is. I mean, it's just going to be. So again, we start by becoming like Christ ourselves and living that daily around the people that God brings into our lives, whether we're expected it or not. Who knows what he's going to do that. And that's the exciting part about serving him. We just never know. But yeah, that's why I wanted this group to go through this book because we're going to be looking at those activities that Christ practiced and how we can apply those to our life. And I mentioned last time, I took that week and went to Branson and I went through this material and I'm thinking, okay, God, I've got to work more on this and this and this and this. And I look back and I think, wow, I kind of lost the focus on some of those things. We get so busy in life. When do we really make time for? I think it was Justin last week when he was talking about that, when he was talking about solitude and simplicity. Our lives could be a whole lot more simple than they are. Is that God's will they get more simple or? Because God has different ministries for different people in different ways. But, being able to really sit down and talk, that's why I wanted to do this. I wanted to listen to you guys and ladies on how you are attempting to follow Christ and things you may have that can help all of us when you share that. That's awesome because we are the body of Christ. We need each other. We need to learn from one another. And I hope that by the time we get through this, whether it's 6 months from now or a year from now, I don't care. But the fact that we get through it and we take not just intellectual understanding what this guy's saying, but we have learned to practice it by then and depending on one another to make contacts during the week, not just when we meet here, checking on one another. Man, when you pray for someone and God says, call them, call them. Even though they're working and don't answer their phone, right, Jeremy? But Jeremy called me back, so that was awesome. He was working today, and so I didn't get that. Of course, I had to say he was sleeping, but he wasn't. He was working, and so but he called me back, and that was important. I needed to hear that voice because when I was praying for him, God said, "Stop your prayers and call him." Okay, I'll do that. So we just need to follow him in such a way, and you all have said it, that the love that Jesus showed for others because of his love for the Father, that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, people are supposed to see Jesus in us, and boy, that will be a lifetime learning on this earth and never perfecting it. But still, just growing closer to him every day is my goal. Because I know I'll never perfect it, even though I think I should, but I know I won't. That's stupid. That's just part of my personality.
I think that Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. There's a real important thing there to understand. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He don't talk to me the way he talks to you.
Right.
He knows where you've been. He knows the trash you got your he got you got yourself in. He knows how to clean you up, pull you up. I think more importantly than anything is learning to recognize his voice when you need him. Because
Yeah.
I want to say this. People say, well, I don't hear his voice in this and that, but if you go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve, they spiritually died, and they looked at their bodies, and they said, we're naked. We don't, and they didn't even know how to take care of their bodies. So what did? They go get leaves and think that's going to take care of them. And Jesus, and they were in their mess, not knowing how to care for their body, not knowing how to do nothing. And who came walking? And it said, he came walking, and they heard his voice because he said, where are
Where
you?
are
And then they said, well, we were naked and we were afraid. And I think too many times we try to move out. You will hear his voice because he knows you. He knows exactly not only how to show you light, but how to speak to you. And that's what's been important to me in my life is from the time I had a gun to my head and I was going to pull the trigger. I didn't know it was him, but I heard this thought. If you pull that trigger, you'll face God right now. Immediately, fear fell over me because I knew I'd go to hell. And it stopped me. Don't tell me he doesn't come walking to you in your mess and say something to you to awaken you. You're going to face me. And I love that Jesus said that. And I know that that is true, for I know his voice.
Yeah, Jesus came to give life, and I mentioned that in the funeral. You know, Satan's in charge of death. Can you imagine? I mean, something again. We've all thought about this, but Satan thought he won when Jesus was crucified and put in a tomb. Death won. I won. Yes, he's gone. And 3 days later, oh man, Jesus conquered death and he defeated Satan forever for all of us. And so you're right. I mean, it's that life in Christ that, and again, if it's what we say it is, and I know it is, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, personal relationships aren't built unless you speak and listen to one another. So we can hear his voice. We should expect to hear his voice. I didn't realize hearing his voice to leave earlier for the funeral was a way of getting through crazy backed up traffic, maybe not being shot at if we'd still been back further where the shooting took place. I mean,
Oh
how good is God? I mean, he goes,
my
hey, and here's what it was. I wanted to go see the piano player early. So I
gosh.
told Bree, I said, well, we're not leaving till 1 o'clock. I said, hey, Annette, let's leave at 12:45. I just want to go up there while she's playing the piano. And Annette got ready by 12:35. Said, let's go now. I said, let's do it. I mean, the beauty of God speaking and us getting to a place at the shooting, we were not in the area of the shooting that the Highway Patrol were going to that we would have been in if we'd waited and gone later. How good is God? Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
He does. He speaks to us. You're right. And again, you can't have a personal relationship unless you're listening and talking to somebody. You can have a mental one, but not a personal one. And so God has a desire. I mean, man, God created us to love us so we could love him too. I mean, he created us for relationship. It's all about relationship. Jesus, what's commandments? Love the Lord your God, love one another. And then Jesus said, hey, I got a new one. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. I mean, it's all about those relationships that Christ has called us to be the light in the world, to be the voice of God in this world, and letting people see that in us. You know, it was so funny going to the funeral. I'm thinking, isn't it amazing how we so focus on death when someone dies, we're going to a funeral? You know, oh my goodness, you know, I'm going to miss them, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. And believe me, I've been there. I know, I understand. But at the same time, I've learned that, hey, wait a minute. Instead of me going, God, why did you take them? It's like, thank you. I have with them. Oh, what a blessing. Yeah, I told, and it sounds a little bit corny, but I told him that, man, after the first day we were together in marriage, I said, if I died tomorrow, it was worth it just to have one day with you. You know, I want to focus on the gift that God gave me, not on what I expect him to continue giving me, but to focus on what he has given and glorify him for that. Thank him for that. Live in him for that. And that's why I was afraid some people get up, walked out right at the beginning when I welcomed them. And I said, you know, I'm sorry for your loss, but you may not understand, but we're going to celebrate today.
Yeah.
And boy, it's fun when you're up the front, you see every response.
Yeah.
The believers, again, it's amazing when the believers, you could see the smiles on their faces. They knew exactly what I was talking about. And the other ones were just, and what was so amazing, they were paying attention. Those who weren't believers, I would say, they were listening to every word the Holy Spirit was speaking to them. And I loved watching the Holy Spirit work like that. It's just absolutely amazing. So it's like, thank you, Jesus. You're in charge. This is your time.
And honestly, I think because you are so different, you're not like every pastor, they're more receptive. So there's one guy that was in the crowd that has his ministry license, and he's a psychologist. And he's like in the family. So he's my sister-in-law's uncle. And he walked up and to my brother and was like, oh my gosh, that was the best funeral I've ever been to. And he was like, and that guy reminds me of you, Brandon. And my brother's like, he was telling me he reminds him of me. And you could tell that uplifted him because he liked you. And even my dad, like, anytime he talks about you, like, you can tell that he respects you and that he likes what you have to say. And not everybody could have got that, especially coming from a religious stance. Like, my dad doesn't like religious people, and I don't blame him. But because of the way you are, it makes people more receptive.
Well, we had that connection on the phone Friday. It was amazing. I mean, God let me fall in love with your dad, talk to him on the phone. It was just, I don't know what it was. I've never had a connection with somebody I just met on the phone like that.
Yeah.
And so it will continue as long as he allows it to.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to him about it today because he was, you know, I was talking with him and he started crying about everything. And I was telling him how you said, you know, if you get stuck on three and can't move to four, maybe you need to reach out to somebody, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
But you got to want it too, because he's not going to force it. But, and he acted like he would call you. And then David Winters is supposed to call him too. So I'm going to try and get David Winters to talk with him also, because they're both electrical engineers. Or, like, my dad's an electrical engineer, so I know his brain will work like David Winters.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. And because that's what I got about your dad. Your dad is super sharp, and he would understand Dallas Willard faster than most people because of the way Dallas writes. And so I told him about the Renovation of the Heart book, which is one of my favorite books now. And I gave him the title and I said, get it. We'll go through it. I mean, we'll just take time asking questions, talking about what it is and just sharing together. And he took it. And I've got a note to call him Friday. He's on my list for Friday because you weren't on here. I said it earlier. I want to give him a few days to get through some stuff and then just touch base with. Does he have a cell phone that he texts
Yeah, but it's not like ours. It's kind of like prepaid type stuff. So I don't know how often he's getting on it or anything like that, but so you can text it, but it probably would be better to call.
Okay, that's a
Yeah.
good point. Okay. Okay, let me look at the clock. Oh my goodness. How does time go by so fast?
You enjoy
It
what you do.
seems like we just started. Okay, let me read. Let me read the section we're going to start on next week. I believe our present difficulty is one of misunderstanding how our experiences and actions enable us to receive the grace of God. There is a deep longing among Christians and non-Christians alike for the personal purity and power to live as our hearts tell us we should. What we need is a deeper insight into our practical relationship with God and redemption. And that's where we're going to stop this week, and we will pick up there next week. Any other comments? I'm in no big hurry, but I'm a time person. Like I said, when I was an Air Force chaplain, I had to be out at a certain time because we ran out and they came in and put all the Catholic stuff up for their worship right after us. And so, and everybody said, we're going to throw away the clock after I got out of the chaplaincy and said, you preach as long as you want to. And it's really hard sometimes.
I think Robert needs to work on getting us extra time because it's just
Yeah.
not enough.
Oh, he can give us all time in the world on his.
Yeah.
You have to
His
figure it
is
out.
unlimited, like Scott's. I got the free version. Mine's